Well, I'm starting a series today entitled Running Scared. The title of this morning's message is Facing Your Fears. You see, it goes without saying that we live in a fearful world. As you see in your sermon notes, the things that I've expressed there, every day we learn of horrors, tragedies, disease, terrorism, growing nuclear threats, economic collapse, political tensions and unrest, murders. People are running scared. The amount of people on antidepressants has doubled in recent years. What do you fear? What keeps you awake at night and distracted during the daylight? How many fears are there? If you could look into the hearts and minds of everyone you meet, what a multitude of fears would be revealed. Fear for the body, fear of sickness, fear for the mind, fear of poverty, fear of losing your job, fear of criticism, fear of temptation, fear of the consequences of wrongdoing, fear of loneliness, fear of old age, fear of failure, fear of the past, things present, and things to come. There are abnormal fears, anxieties, and unreasonable paranoia and panic attack. The Bible even indicates certain kinds of fears like this. It says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them. Why did the most popular dog in America change from the poodle to the Rottweiler? Fear. Why are homes and business security systems commonplace today? Fear. There's even a certain set of buttons you push in case of emergency known as the panic buttons. Fear. What about global tracking devices? Fear. What about OnStar in your car? Fear. Why do churches have security systems and some churches even have uniformed police officers that meet you at the door? Fear. Why are people motivated to get certified to carry weapons in the state of Texas and many other states as well? Fear. We are in a fearful world, and how people are coping with our fears are almost as destructive as the fears themselves. There is a sense of spiritual and economic and social and moral running scared in our world, and it's not going to change if all you're doing is looking at the news and observing the circumstances either locally, nationally, or internationally. The consequences and the propagation and the expansion of the dismantling of the social order, morally, economically, and otherwise, is a fearful thing to behold. And to admit otherwise is to live in blindness to the realities of the world in which we live. People are running scared. Maybe that's why it's no surprise that repeatedly in God's Word, over 20 times we hear God say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. God is trying to tell us as His children, in spite of what we hear and in spite of what we sense and in spite of what we see, we don't have to live fear-filled lives. I'm always a little amazed at times when I sense the leadership of the Lord about a direction of a series, and then after I have settled on that, then I've discovered that other Christian ministers and writers somehow at the very same time are addressing the same theme. After I decided on the topics and the direction of this series, I discovered that Max Lucado is coming out with a new book, not even at the bookstores yet, called Fearless. Isn't that interesting? I heard someone tell me recently that Andy Stanley, Charles's son, has done a series on worry-free living, trying to overcome that disturbance of spirit that can erode your faith of concern because of the consequences of the world. You see, fears are an unavoidable part of life. How are we to face them and to faith them as followers of Jesus Christ? Turn with me, please, to the text of Scripture listed for you in your sermon notes. Psalms 34. Psalms 34, we will be reading verses 1 through 4. Verse 4 we read a few moments ago. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. We could make a sermon right there, couldn't we? Good times, bad times, fearful times, not fearful times, peaceful times, economically overflowing times, economically depressed times. I will bless the Lord at all times. whose praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let me quickly say, you can't make God bigger than He is. But you can help other people who do not see the bigness of God be magnified before their eyes. Understand that? We don't make God bigger than He is. We have yet to see how big God is. But we can help folks who have a little vision of God to be magnified before Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Here it is. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. Of course, as you see, that verse 4 is the foundational text for this whole series. No matter whether we're going to be talking about in weeks to come, political fears, economic fears, family fears, fear of insignificance, all those kinds of realities in our world, this truth is foundational. When you seek the Lord, He has the capacity, the ability, and the desire to liberate you from all your fears if we seek Him with our whole heart. But biblically, there are right fears and wrong fears. There are some things that we should not fear, and there is someone who we should fear. I don't have time to expand on the multiple biblical terms for the one word fear that we use, but the application and implication of the texts of Scripture in the original language gives expression to the nuances of the experience of fear in our lives. There are certain things we should not fear biblically. We should not fear man. We should not have physical fear or fear of circumstances. We shouldn't have political fears. We shouldn't have economic fears. But we should have a fear of God. And we'll talk about that in the last sermon in this series. In its most basic form, What is the core of human fear? Notice number one in your outline. Fear is the result of admitting our human frailty and the uncertainty of knowing or controlling what happens in any given moment. Fear is the result of admitting our human frailty and the uncertainty of knowing or controlling what happens in any given moment. You see, fear can be simply the honest evaluation of our clear understanding of uncertainty, of knowing fully or controlling personally much of anything in our lives. You see, caution is one thing, and crippling fear is something else. Why is it that parents have a degree of caution at a level much higher degree than their children? Because of maturity and experience. And perspective, time and experience, both good and bad, can enhance the potential of your view of what could be and might be and has been in your own life. Why is it that parents wrestle with their children at times trying to express some potential of things that could happen? The kids are going, that will never happen, until you can give them personal illustrations, and sometimes you don't want to give them personal illustrations of how it did happen in your life, but you're trying to keep it from happening in their lives. Sometimes that cautionary sense of wisdom that gives a hesitation to how we express our decisions is based on experience. We've been there, done that, and it blew up, either for ourselves or in someone else's life. And that caution is a good thing. But that's not the kind of fear that I'm speaking of. I'm not talking about a caution out of wisdom or even abnormal fears, paranoia. How I would describe this kind of fear that we can be liberated from according to God's word, according to the promise of God in Psalms. It's a kind of fear that's corrosive. I'm speaking to us as believers today, first and foremost. We can have a fearfulness that is corrosive to our faith. It is distracting and disturbing. It is a fear that causes us to be more conscious of the potential harm that could happen in our lives much more conscious than we are of the promise, the purpose, and the power of God. When we are more conscious of the negative in life than we are of the positive of God's promise, then we are being distracted and disturbed by fearfulness that is not honoring to God. Should not a Christian's heart and mind be so possessed with the person and power and promise of God that no matter what, we can live with courage and faith above and beyond the circumstances of life? Sure, that's exactly what we're called to do. To live in a way that builds faith and honors God and gives us courage. Let me remind you of what Psalms 27 says. You won't see this listed on your screen. Turn with me if you have your Bible still open to Psalms 27. Notice what the psalmist writes. In my particular version of the scripture, there is a heading over this psalm. It's not inspired, but it is informative. It says, a psalm of fearless trust in God. That's really the essence of it, isn't it? Notice why. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fail. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. The war rise against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident. That is the call of the Christian. That is the place where we ought to stand and live and abide in this world with our eyes and our hearts not fixed on what we see at the human level, but what we know at the divine level. God is still on His throne. God is still on His throne. And His throne will always be safe and secure. And His promises are true. And His word is true. We've read the end of the book. We know how it's going to turn out. We win. We win. Folks, that's good news. That is great news. And yet fear can be crippling in the life of the Christian. It can inhibit our willingness to respond in obedience quickly and completely. Because we're conscious of the human fears more so than we are of the power, person, and presence of God. Number two, fear is rooted in false beliefs about ourselves and our world. The reason we are fearful is because we are displacing our faith and our trust in a wrong place. We are believing wrong things. Emotions are connected to thoughts. You have thoughts, emotions, and actions. And that's the order of things. If your thinking is wrong, your feeling is wrong, and your behavior is wrong. That's why repeatedly in the prison epistles that Paul wrote to those other churches, he was saying, believe this, but also don't forget to behave that way. He would establish belief first, and then behavior should follow that. And if there's a faulty aspect of behavior, it's because of disbelief or misbelief in the wrong things. What is it that we could be believing incorrectly that could lead to a fracturing of our faith in a consistent way? Let me list these. Here's just a few. There could be many others. Fear of death. This is under the fear. Fear of death. But the lie is, my security is in this life. You see, if that's what we really believe, my security is in this life, then I have a fear of death based on a sense of circumstantial insecurity. But if my security is not in this life, I should have no fear of death. And for the Christian, death is not the end, it's the beginning. I mean, it's when it gets real good. Forever. Woo! That's why Paul said, man, I'm looking forward to it. If it be the Lord's will, I'd go today. Even so, come quickly. I mean, death's looking better every day, isn't it? Man, there's less to be here except to be obedient to God and be fruitful for His kingdom. But then when we die, to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. The fear of rejection. What's the lie? Worth comes from people. That's the lie. How often we live our lives to be accepted by men or women. A friend of mine said it a long time ago, and it stuck with me so clearly. He said, so often we spend our lives trying to please people we don't even like. Who is more twisted there? I mean, if you think your worth is found before the eyes of people, that doesn't mean we have absolute disregard of our witness or our testimony. It just means that the core of your being is anchored in who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be sensitive to our influence, but we should not be controlled by the perceptions of others and limit our obedience to God. Fear of rejection is anchored in the wrong place. It's anchored in a lie. Fear of security. What is the lie? God may not do what's best. Wow. God may not do what's best. Give me a break. Isn't it amazing? We can trust God for our eternal salvation, but can't trust Him for tomorrow. What's messed up with that? That is the lie. God may not do what's best. Fear, what about fear for poverty? Fear of poverty. The lie, God won't take care of me. He won't. Doesn't the Bible say that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too? Doesn't the Bible say He loves you so much He has the hairs of your head numbered? Some of them He's reducing the number as time goes on. I mean, God has an intimate knowledge of you in relationship. He says that, behold the lilies of the field, God takes care of them. I mean, listen, God will do what's best. Can you trust Him? If you believe the lie that He can't or won't, then you have a fear of poverty. What about fear of suffering? Fear of suffering. What is the lie? God's grace won't be enough to enable me to bear it. God's grace won't be enough. You see, it's a fear of an experience that's beyond our ability. But is it beyond God's ability? Is it beyond God's power? Listen, Paul prayed 3 times, let this thorn be removed from me. And God answered it. He said no. You know, every prayer is answered by God. He either says yes, no, or maybe. Or not yet, which is the same thing. He answers them all. It may not be the way He liked. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Is God's grace still sufficient for you? We live in fear because we believe wrongly. Because our focus is on this world and not on God. Because we're more conscious of the latest news broadcast than we are of the good news broadcast. We more consistently expose ourselves to what Hollywood says or the Congress says or the news says instead of what God says. Fear is rooted in false beliefs about ourselves and our world. And then 3, and then I'll close. Fear is a ripe opportunity to trust God in a fresh way. David would never know that God could use him to kill a giant until he stepped out on the battlefield and took the risk. Daniel would not have discovered that God could close the mouths of lions until he was willing to stand for God at the risk of losing his life. Peter would not have known he could walk on water until he stepped out of the boat. There's 2 things I want to say at this point. One is, some of you are not fearful enough yet. You've never risked obedience enough to get out of your comfort zone to where you'd have to trust God in a way beyond yourselves. In a humorous way, on our mission trip, when I saw the schedule on there that we were spending an afternoon with, I guess from first graders to high school, little preschoolers to high school, and we were spending a day of recreation with them, I was struck with fear. I told the team, there's a reason Karen doesn't let me down in the children's building. I scare them. I'm terrible with kids, I think. It's not my calling. As I tried to discern God's will in my life early on, I was never confused. God never one time even whispered youth ministry. It never came up. I didn't pray about it. I considered music ministry at one time, and I considered evangelism, and then some youth never came up. But it was on the list. Now, we even had pre-meetings ahead of time. It's not like we didn't try to prepare. I mean, Wesley went to Karen and said, she gave us several books, games that do this and connect with that. And I'm thinking, oh, brother, that's what I want to do, sir, and read kid books about games. So we sat out, we discussed some things. They made some suggestions. This is before we left, went on the trip. And then I think the day before we said, okay, now tomorrow we're doing this and what, let's talk about that. I mean, I'm just blurry eyed going, you know, nothing was there, you know. You're trying to have those creative moments, nothing's there. I just look at it, I'm going, whatever y'all want to do, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then it comes about that time and they start doing some of the games and then they're carrying on. And I go over to Wesley, I said, what about if we did this thing? He goes, good idea. You take this group, I'll take that group, we'll split them up. Whoa! Whoa! But we had a great time. And the parents that were coming early to pick up their kids that were standing over a little section by themselves as we were all in different, two or three different groups doing different games, the parents were saying to the teachers, can we play? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone enough to experience some fear beyond yourself so that you can then be in a place to trust God? Some of you folks haven't been fearful enough. And then those of you who live with some creeping sense of disturbance of spirit. I have fears for this church. I have fears as a parent that gnaws at my spirit. I have some concerns for issues with my parents. You know, if the Lord allows my dad to live long enough and go in a nursing home. My mom at that moment will become impoverished. Because all 3/4 of their income, which is nothing, then goes to the government. What about you? What is it on your mind when you wake up at 3:00 in the morning? Could it be a health issue? Gilbert said to me the other day, he said, Pastor, I'm coming to the place in my life that my health is a full-time job. You live long enough, you will be too. That creeping, corrosive disturbance that could cripple your wholehearted faith in God. This whole series is about learning to believe the right things so that God, and learning to seek God so that He can deliver us from all of our fears. Now let me be clear. I don't want to overspeak. Victory in the Christian life is discovered and experienced a moment at a time. Sometimes I think we miscommunicate, we as in ministers, miscommunicate by overstating things. 3 easy steps to the Christian life. 5 keys to victory. 6 whatever to... And it, the way the things are stated almost implies If you'll check off these 3 points, you can coast from now until Jesus comes. That's another lie. That when we face more frustration, then it didn't work. It does work, but it requires faithful application, moment by moment. Don't misunderstand that. Learning to face your fears and faith your fears is a daily walk with God. And let me tell you something. The devil is no fool. He is not going to go away until God says go away. He will let him dog your tracks and send fear darts in your life. But if you use every opportunity to put up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and on and on, if you do those things so that you can quench the fiery darts of the evil one, then victory, deliverance from your fears is still possible. But listen to me, it's moment by moment by moment by moment. So don't think when we're through with this series on fear, you can just kick it in neutral. Come on, Jesus, any day, I'm good. No, the moment you presume on yesterday's grace, you're going to fail in today's opportunity of faith. My simple question for you today is, if you have something that you are consciously, specifically fearful of, it could be nationally, it could be politically, it could be economically, we're going to be dealing with these things, it could be personally, it could be health, it could be family, but you know what it is or they are. Your fear has a face. If that describes you today, then I ask you to quietly identify yourself so that I can pray for us. If there's something that you have to deal with in your Christian walk as a fear, would you quietly stand to your feet? Whoever that might be, don't make up something. If you can't think of anything, God bless you. Remain seated. Now, those of you who are standing, look around. Look around. We are in good company. And just be reminded, those of you who are seated, you probably could stand next week or the week after. Okay? Now, I want those of you who are standing, find a place where you can reach over and get a hand on a shoulder. Because it's my belief that you can pray for each other in a powerful way because you're conscious of your own struggle. Find somebody. You may know them, you may not know them. It does not matter. Get a connection. Everybody got a hold of somebody? Let's bow together in prayer. My Father God, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to search your word in a fresh way about coping with the things that are true to life, fearful times and fearful experiences. And I pray for these that have been honest enough to stand with a specific fear in their life, or several maybe, God. God, I pray for us that we would resonate with a new desire to get our hearts and minds in your word and in the truths that will set us free. God, help us to see and sense that we have a confidence available to us if we would seek you with our whole heart, that you might deliver us from all of our fears. God, help us to know that it's a daily walk and a daily journey. We may be praying every day, God, enable me to trust you afresh today about this area of my life. And God, we may pray that prayer until the day you call us home. victory God has experienced moment by moment, day by day, experience by experience. God, help us to look up from the horizon of human experience and look to You on Your throne. You're God above all, in all, over all. And You are the God who promises and provides for every need of Your people. I pray for deliverance. God, for some You may choose to step in and eliminate that fear and take it away. God, not our will, but Thine be done. God, bring the freedom of spirit and a renewed confidence and the ability to believe beyond ourselves. God, I commit these who are standing to You, God. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus and in the resurrected One who stood up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And what we can believe in You, God, is that You have the power to bring deliverance of fears from our lives. God, for those who are seated, I pray, God, that if there's some here today that have not stepped out in obedience to place themselves in a fearful circumstance beyond their ability, forcing them to trust You, that if You don't come through, they're going to fall on their face, God. Lord, lead us as a church and as Christians to be bold and courageous. You didn't give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of love and sound mind and confidence, God. Help us as a church and as a people to risk obedience so that we can trust in a deeper way. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never come to that place of personal faith in Christ, I pray that right now that You would open their heart to the realization that they are in the most fearful place of all, and that's still in their sin, facing You as a holy God, deserving of judgment because for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we all deserve judgment and eternal separation from You, God. Lord, I pray that You would help that one or those that are here today that's never trusted Jesus to come to this place of personal faith. God, this invitation is Yours. I pray that we would respond in joy, that we would magnify Your name, bless Your names at all time. Let Your praise continually be in our mouths. And God, let it begin right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.